Hey, what's up, fellow Z Warriors? This is Dustin Goon Collins, and I'm here with my buddy Sean. And here's our first podcast, and we're gonna go ahead and introduce ourselves a little bit, just in case you don't know who we are. I'm gonna go ahead and ask a few questions. This is basically our hyperbolic time chamber training questions. So I'm gonna go ahead and ask Sean, how long has he been playing?
Hey, if you guys all know me, my name is Sean Pastokey. You might know me more from as a designer for the new game. I also played the old game a lot. And if you guys were around the IRC days or just the forums, you might have known me by my handle of Overtime.
Yeah, I've been playing this game since the first incarnation, the ScoreZ, if you will, and I've been playing it since pretty much day one. I was playing Pokemon at the time, and I just started playing Dragon Ball, fell in love with it, got all my players basically that were playing Pokemon to just start playing Dragon Ball, and that's where we went from. So Sean, like with the new set, what have you been kind of currently playing and messing around with? I know you're a play tester for Panini Z, and but I just like to know what kind of decks you're playing with current stuff.
Well, current stuff, people always harp on the quote unquote big three. I think there's a lot more decks playable that can compete with those decks. If you just want to go with something that's like my personal like favorite deck I like to play with in set two, it's actually Black Nappa.
Interesting. I've been kind of play testing around. I mean, I've played with the big three. I'm not really a huge Namekian fan, but my style is orange, and I love orange just for the control. And I've been playing a Krillin deck with the Possession Drill, so I can activate my critical damage effect every turn. And then get those key drills out that I need at the end of the turn through my discard pile. And it kind of keeps control of Ginyu, which is really nice, and slows down Piccolo a little bit in the anger game. And yeah, I mean, that's basically what I've been playing, and I love it. But I've been kind of farting around with a Trunks Black deck, which is pretty interesting with the sword stances. And all I do is I sit there and just remove their discard pile for the whole game and build up for Black Counterball, which is pretty funny. And it's actually won a few times against super aggro like God Goku and just decks that come at you because it's very passive. With that, what's because we've been playing this game a long time, what's your greatest victory or greatest win in Dragon Ball, Sean?
I don't know. It's hard to say. If you guys didn't know, I played mostly on the West Coast. Eventually, I did get to travel to stuff like Nats and Worlds. But if you don't know, the biggest problem with playing in the West Coast is you guys know him as rules, answering rules and doing the mailbag and all that stuff. But good old Richard Williams was one of the best players in the old game. If you didn't know that, he had won, I believe, four regionals, which is a lot in the old game. So whenever you attend an event, it was pretty hard to get through him if you get paired with him and top cut. So I never won anything major, but I mean, I did pretty well.
Yeah, I personally remember playing Richie a few times, and I know he played orange and he liked to play orange too, and it drove me crazy because basically, I wanted to try and consider myself the master of orange, but in order to consider yourself a master of anything, you actually have to beat a master. And I think I maybe beat Richie once out of like maybe a handful of times, so it's like, I'm not really a master until I can consistently beat him, My greatest win didn't actually come against Richie. It came against some random guy. I don't remember, but I remember it was a regional or something, and or states. And the guy was playing me, and he was playing old school high tech Cell. And if you don't remember old high tech Cell, it had a physical attack that did plus three, And if you declared a Tokuwaza or Tokiwaza, however you want to say it, he got to use it a second time during combat. So I was playing my post-errated 18, orange, of course. And so he just was handing me my ass the whole game. Like, he took out like half of my life deck in within a matter of like 4 turns. And so I just decided to switch up gears because when I play my orange, I'm kind of passive aggressive. If I can start, I will, but most of the time I just sit back until I'm ready with all my drills. And so that was the problem that I had in that game. But then I switched up and I started just entering combat every time with him. And he was just really surprised because I had just gone full aggro on him, like complete 180. And it was getting close towards the end of the game, and I had like a bunch of my drills out. If you remember the Android attack drills, I had like 3 of those out or 2 of those out, and it did +2 life cards for all your attacks. And it was a freestyle drill, so you could have more than just one. And basically, it came down to it was coming to my turn, and I was going to draw out, and he had like 2 cards left in his deck, and he just thought the game was over. And I remembered the one rule that I could get through that I can make a final physical attack against him, and he didn't have any blocks. So that was my biggest comeback. And like by that time, everybody had gathered around, and just because our match was taking forever, and we were the last ones, and just everybody around this table. He was so frustrated with me after that, though. He like slammed the table, and he came up to apologize to me later, which was cool of him. But I was like, dude, don't even worry about it. I mean, you thought you had me, and then it's just like it was crazy. It was just a crazy game. All right, so let's go ahead and get into our episode. Coming to you from Master Roshi's Island, it's the Kame House Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Goon Collins, and here with me is my co-host and Master Roshi's supplier of dirty magazines, Sean. How are you doing today, Sean?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing perfect, man. I'm really excited about our first episode, and hopefully it doesn't come out too shitty. We've got a few things to talk to you about, and are you ready for this, Sean?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So I want to go ahead and start out with the upcoming regionals and possible dates for them. I know we were supposed to get a timeline of when the first one was supposed to be out, and I think it was supposed to be out this weekend. We also got the tournament guidelines as well, which is really helpful. It doesn't seem like too much out of the ordinary from what I've seen. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at those, Sean.
I've seen it well in advance. The problem was, I think most people have, at least that are coming from other games, are really, they don't like that you can't intentional draw thing. But you have to remember, the old game didn't have intentional draw, and there's all things like best of one Swiss. People didn't remember the old game was best of one Swiss, and most of the top cut was single game. It was a pretty brutal game. You never got to play multiple games until, the finals, or if it was a bigger event like Nats, maybe top four. So I think the tournament guide came out pretty well,
Yeah, I thought it did too. Personally, I really don't like intentional draws because, when I think about it, you're there. Like I go back and forth on this one, to tell you the truth, because when you're there, like, the reason I don't like it, because when you're there, you're there to play the game. You're not there to just intentionally draw with your buddies, you know?
Of course.
And the other thing too is, I can see, you're playing for money, so you want to have a chance to top. You're playing for money and prizes. You want to have a better chance to top. And if you're already playing that well, of course you want to intentionally draw. But the problem I have with that is that, other people who are playing that maybe just got a bad matchup, or they just, it was a really close game. You're screwing those people out of like a chance at top cuts at what as well, you know?
Yeah, like for sure. I see both sides of the argument from playing other card games, but you just have to realize like those card games can do that because, they've refined their OP and stuff like that. DBZ, like, it's just such a different style of game. I don't think intentional draws really meshes well with the style of game. And the pace of the game is well, I mean, some matches can be a lot slower, but it's pretty fast. A lot faster than the older game, at least. So I mean, I don't know what to say more, but it's just, I'm sorry if you guys don't like that there's no intentional draws. It's just, I don't think that fits this game very well.
Yeah, tough shit. Just deal with it, right, Sean?
Pretty much.
But I do like the fact of the Swiss best of one. And you get 40 minutes. That's plenty of time to play a DBZ match. I've played matches where it's like 20 minutes long. I mean, unless you're playing Namekian, like stall, regeneration. Then 40 minutes is well enough time to complete a one, best of one.
Yeah, 40 minutes is a pretty good compromise. I think originally it was supposed to be around like 30 minutes, but 40 gives you that cushion in case for some reason it's a really slow deck versus another slow deck, so that at least there can be, an outcome that doesn't go into the third breakers.
Right, and if you finish up early, you'll have time to, go talk to your buddies, or, go use the restroom, get a snack, something like that, I've always liked that too, when you just have a little excess time in any game. I also, I was reading over the tiebreakers, and I really enjoyed those too, because I felt like I remembered in the old game, if you had more Dragon Balls at a certain point, it was like ruled higher. But now it's the player with the most life cards at the end of the game is declared the winner. Until you start breaking it down into more tiebreakers, then it's like the player with the highest non-Dragon Balls in their deck, with life cards, then the highest MP level, then whichever player controls the most Dragon Balls, then highest MP in stages. And then last, the player's MP with the highest power level.
Yeah, like the old game, the tiebreaker system was way different. It was just a point-based system. Like you're talking about, you got a point for like every card in your life deck, but Dragon Balls were worth more. I'm sorry, I can't recall how much they were worth, but they were worth way more points for a tiebreaker system than any of the other things. So we had to make sure. I know it kind of sucks that the first tiebreaker only focused on the survival aspect, but I think it's a pretty good, I guess, compromise to just. I mean, hopefully your games are not going, they shouldn't really go to time, but I mean, if they do, then I think this tiebreak system is way better than the old game.
I agree. Like, I mean, I just, because as a player who comes from, the aspect of liking the survival victory, and it kind of meshes up with the show, because it's like, well, you don't have all the Dragon Balls, so there's no real point of like, you can't summon the dragon without all of the Dragon Balls. And it's like, but if I'm beating you down and you're almost dead, obviously I'm gonna have an easier time just killing you off. Like, speaking show-wise, I guess, the other thing I wanted to, I had a question mark too about, maybe you can clarify on this, is it says you get two extra turns at the end of time, and when, because you come from playing Pokemon, and so do I, where we've had time, and now it's like, basically in Pokemon, like whoever's turn time was called on, their turn zero. Sean would be turn one, I would be turn two, Sean would get another turn, and that would be it. But when it says two extra turns, does it just mean one extra turn for both players?
I haven't checked the actual wording on it since it's actually been released. It doesn't specifically mention a turn zero, does it?
No, it does not. It just says, I have it up right here. I think it just says, you get two extra turns, and that's it. And then you decide who is the winner by that point. If nobody's, won by that point, it goes to the tiebreakers. Let me see.
Well, don't hold me to it. I'm pretty sure the intent was supposed to be one turn for each player. I'm pretty sure it counts if time has already been like called during your turn before you enter combat. I'm surprised it wasn't further clarified. I would probably, if you're really curious, probably email to double check that.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure the intent was supposed to be when time gets called, each player gets one turn, basically, to. Like, if you're losing, you probably wouldn't enter combat, right? So it's mainly just for the person that probably has a better chance of winning, they're going to enter combat. Or if it's really close, probably both players are going to enter combat on their turn.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I saw it too, is that it's one turn a piece, and then you figure out the cards, by that point you go tiebreakers. Yeah, what else did I have written down for today? Is there anything you want to talk about, Sean? I honestly, I really like the we'll get into a little more of the tournament stuff right now too. I like the fact that the local, like when you go down to the like smaller events for tournaments, the locals and like the store events can have a two-judge system. So, if you really enjoy the game and you're judging, it's not like any other game where it's like, oh man, like I can't play because I got to judge, and that's good. And then I see as you go up the higher the tournament structure, obviously, it's more strict enforcement. There's no two-judge system at regionals, obviously. And then like during the championship, everybody's pretty much going to get random deck checked, or there's going to be random deck checking coming through. Go
I know a
ahead.
lot of players have been asking for a judge program just because that's the more modern thing in card games. The old game had one, but it was done in kind of a weird way. Like even though they had a judge promo, it's not like those judges, I mean, a judge program, it's not like those judges would judge at like Nats and Worlds, right? They still had, head judges like someone like Ake or other people that, work for the company being doing the judging stuff. Like even though they had a program, they didn't really incorporate the judges like a normal game would, So a judge program is in development, so you don't have to worry about that. But at least for this regional season or this tournament OP season, you're probably gonna see more of that type of stuff, like people running the events. Like the program is not gonna be set and made and be like, okay, boom, you whatever they decide to do, if it's a test or, however, what, oh, I became a judge, okay, I can judge my regional now. It's not gonna be like that, at least not for this season.
Yeah, and that's a good thing too, is you don't want that kind of stuff in there. So now, kind of, I want to, obviously, because you're NDA, your Non-Disclosure Act, like, you might not be able to answer some of these questions, but we'll just go with it and then see what you can. You can, hopefully you can, quote, vaguely answer. With what's going on right now, do you think there's going to be a deck that's going to be able to step up to the big three with the inclusion of the next set?
I think including the next set, which is the movie collection, correct?
Right.
I think definitely there's some stuff from the next set. I actually think there's some stuff that's out now that people aren't playing that I'm kind of disappointed I don't see that, have that can take on some of those decks. So, but I'm not gonna say that the player base is too young or anything like not young as an age standpoint, but as like maybe the player base is a little bit too raw, but I think there is more. I know it's such a cop out to say that since I work on the game, but I personally believe there are some decks that people aren't playing that I think are really good in the set two environment.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of that stuff too, and it's just it's not like you say, it's not like a young thing. I think it's just a people who are getting into the game or older players like me and you, kind of shaking off the rust and trying to figure out what's going on. And I just think that I just don't think the combos are being seen, and I wanted to. I'm hoping that blue in the next set will get more stuff that has the parentheses, whenever it's discarded from your hand, you get a certain effect. Like one of them is, I think it's like blue fear, where it's like if you discard it from your hand, you get two anger, and you banish it from the game. But I really wanted to start comboing that with quickness drill, because nobody's using quickness drill, obviously, and because they don't want to burn a card from their hand for a random card from their discard pile. But what I was thinking was using quickness with those cards, and then on top of it with the positioning drill, you can set up your discard pile any way you want to, pretty much, as long as you can get rid of the colorless cards in your discard pile, the or named cards. And those are, I think, some of the combos you're kind of talking about. And I've seen, I play one in my Saiyan Goku deck. It's just a fart around deck, but I basically, use Saiyan Drive By, which is, to me, that's a really underrated card from this
Yes.
set. And I
I'm glad
love.
you brought that up. Saiyan Drive By is an amazing card.
Yeah, I.
Very hard.
Yeah, I love that card because, I hit him for the anger I'm at, and then I basically take Direct Strike, put it on the top of my deck, then I get to Rejuve a card for an anger, then I use the I think it's called the Protection Drill, where
Yep,
it's like,
protection drill.
yeah, where it's basically if you hit me, I can endure the first one I endure this combat, I can just rejuvenate it. So I put that on top there. With the drill, it's a minus, basically six against your attack, So it's really awesome, and that's a really underrated card. And I love it too when people don't get rid of it from my discard pile. Some of the other players that I play against have been wising up to it, and they start removing it because I play Prepped Ball in my deck, which, allows me to get it back.
I'm glad you bring up Sengoku. That's a very good deck. I don't see a lot of people play. If I had to go play in a tournament for a set two environment only, that's a deck that I would really highly consider. It's a very good deck. You get to use a lot of the drills that people don't think, oh, I don't want to play the drills in that deck because I want to stay on God Goku. That deck is very good, and if you level to level two, it's okay. Actually, just getting your drills back are really good. And when you're ready to go back down, like during a combat, go back down to get another card from his the God Power draw. It's a very underrated deck, and you can play in an aggressive manner where your endurance, like Saiyan has a lot of endurance. I don't know if people notice it. Like they have so much endurance, they can play. You can make your deck in a way where your endurance is basically your defense, right? And with cards like Drive By, it's a very underrated deck. It's a very good deck.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I think I might play mine a little bit different than yours. I've been trying to get to level four as quick as possible, just because then I can pull out Retaliation Drill, and and at that you're at that level, your stages are good enough. So if you're being hit for a couple power stages, you're not dropping three brackets as in God Goku is. You're staying pretty consistent with your brackets, and then you get a huge PUR at the beginning of your turn.
Yeah,
So
exactly. That PUR makes a difference sometimes.
yeah, because I mean, consistently staying in the what is it, E or F bracket, is just it's devastating to your opponents. And then it's just when you're hitting for that much, it's hard for them to really start throwing energies at you or really doing any significant physical damage against you as well. And with the level 4 power too, it's just like, okay, well, I can continuously keep out all my drills. It doesn't matter what you can do to my drills. I'm gonna keep getting them back. So you go ahead and you orange stare down me or blue betrayal me. I'm just gonna get them right back with my power.
Exactly, because I think the most popular probably premier Saiyan deck most people play is Vegeta, right? And they play it in an aggressive manner, so you never really see those drills. But Goku makes great use of all, like, Saiyan has some pretty good drills, so he makes great use for those cards. And like you said, like there are some games where like I'll just not level down from level 2 and just go up to level 3, so I had another attack and just had, you know, higher PR and stuff like that. So I mean, it's a great deck. I wish more people would play it.
So like with set 3, I was kind of speculating with Garlic Jr., and I'm kind of hoping I'm right with this one, and I know you won't be able to tell me, so but I just want to get my opinion out of that out there. Since like Garlic Jr.'s thing is about possessing people, I was kind of hoping that in the next set that maybe Garlic Jr. would have something to do with taking control of your opponent's allies, because I thought that would really kind of put a new twist into the metagame. It would be interesting against Ginyu, and I know there's a lot of ally hate, but I just thought, you know, that Garlic Jr. would be fun to play with. And it's like, okay, you start with Ginyu, you open up with Ginyu, get Goldo. Actually, Goldo's mine now. I'm gonna Blackwater Mist him or something, you know. And so now he's my ally for this combat, not yours. But
I'm glad you brought that up. While Garlic Jr., he once you see his personality powers, he is pretty flavorful as in terms of matching how he is.
in the show.
So I think you'll be pleased there, but I don't know if all your hopes would be fulfilled. But he's pretty flavorful as the MP, and I think his personality powers are really cool.
Okay, cool. Like, see that nothing to, you know, we didn't mess with your NDA, you know, you just said it was cool, and cool. Like, I can respect that answer. You know, it's very vague, but I enjoy that answer because at least it's something. At least it gave me something. Do you kind of have a grasp on when the sites are supposed to start getting previews, or when they're going to actually start throwing up previews?
I don't really get into that side of the game, but I believe I don't know when they're gonna start. I think because Set 3 is still not completely finished, so but I mean once that gets more closer, I think you'll start they'll start doing the preview stuff. And of course I'm gonna try to remind them, and not hopefully we don't get what happened in Set 2 to happen, because that was really unfortunate when all the spoilers got.
Yeah,
Well,
that.
like whoever uploaded the images just uploaded them and didn't like have them protected or anything. So anyone that's just gonna type a number on the address could, you know, get like, I'm not gonna fault those people for doing it, because I'm sure if I was in that position I would just done that too, right? Because you just put in the numbers and you can find the images. So hopefully they change that or just only upload the stuff that they're previewing or something. But there should be once it gets closer to wrapping up or going to post-production, we should hopefully start seeing previews for you guys, so you guys can get really excited and hype for the OP season, set 3, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I think when they started adding in they didn't really protect it, and they just added in the numbers. Like, I don't think they really understood the passion of the fan base, you know, of the community, to look into seeing if maybe somebody messed up and they could get the previews out early. And you know, it really is unfortunate for sites like all the ones that had preview cards, because
Yeah,
that jump.
it hurts the fan sites the most. My biggest disappointment about that.
Yeah, and like, you know, they're the ones, you know, they're part of this community. They're helping to grow it, and you know, when you do that, you really stagger the community, unfortunately. And just like the distrust that came out of it too between the players and Panini was really unfortunate about that, because it's just like, you're a couple sets in, and you know, you're trying to grow the fan base, and it's not like Panini is doing this for nonprofit, and we're trying to build this fan base because we want to play it for at least the next 3 to 5 years. And it's just unfortunate that the level of distrust that comes out of that is just, it's really sad.
Yeah, I think what most people don't understand is you guys have to understand this is not pro or anti Panini, by the way. This is just my personal opinion. Panini itself, you guys have to realize first and foremost, it's a sports company. Like, you may remember Score from the old game, but they're not Score. They're a sports company. They make sports cards and like other collectible memorabilia. So like, this is their first card game from it. So like, the person who works there that probably only does stuff for like sports stuff, of course, when he's just uploading images for like sports cards, no one cares. Like, if you go and spoiler, oh, I saw what the next LeBron James card looks like no one cares, right? Because it's like, you sports like sports players are based off real players, so you already know what they are. Like, so you kind of have to give them some, or at least give that guy a slack. Sorry, I don't know who was in charge of doing that, but you have to give them some slack that he probably just uploaded all the images like he normally does for their sports products and didn't think much of it. Obviously, that's way different than a card game, And
Right.
like you said, it sucks for the fan sites. Like, people don't understand, it's not like we're trying to withhold these images from you. Obviously, everyone's going to see the set eventually, but the whole point of the previews is just to help, drive hype with the set going into it, the momentum, just get discussion going and all that stuff. And when it's just all out there all at once, when there's multiple weeks left before the set comes out, it sucks, for just the fan sites, because like you said, they help grow the community. And if you guys are really, serious about playing this game, you want the community to grow as well, so.
Yeah, and through the community growing, it you have, I think a lot of people need to understand too that is when the community grows, the better the prizes are, the more fun we'll actually have, and the longer this game will last because nobody gets into card games really to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna make hundreds of dollars off of these cards I'm investing into. No, what you're investing into is memories. Like, I recently just sold my Pokemon collection for like $2,500, and everybody asked me, well, Dustin, did you get your money back? And I go, hell no, I didn't even get close to making back what I invested in this. What I didn't make back was my memories, like the super long trip I had all the way across to like Indianapolis, or certain things like that. It's like you can't put a price on it, And also about the image thing is just like, with the LeBron, it's like the guy could have easily posted up a picture of like, Goku or Vegeta or anything, just with a picture, and that's and no text, and that's basically what it is, and then nobody would care. It's like, oh, there's a picture of Goku getting punched in the face by Vegeta or Frieza, like, but there's no text, so who cares? Like, if you don't know what the text is or like what card it is, doesn't matter, it's just a blank card with a picture. Yeah, I mean, go
I
ahead.
mean, I respect that. Like, there's a type of player, like how what you explained, you play the game because there's something you connect with, either the game mechanics or maybe it's the IP. Like, I work on this game because my affinity and my love for the old game and the IP, obviously. Like, when Egg asked me if I want to work on it way before set one was just rumor talk, of course I said yes. But I mean, there's different type of players. Obviously, there's players who maybe come from a more competitive game, or maybe they play Magic and they're used to like the big prizes and stuff like that. I'm not saying this game, like, you have to understand, Magic has been around for so many years. It's so polished and they're OP and stuff like that. I think for this game launching in this type of how do you put it, modern age of card games, well, I mean, people were upset that they were just playing only locals. When's the OP? I mean, you're finally getting OP, so like, people should be happy. I think you'll be happy with the prizes. And the card game itself has been selling pretty decently, so I mean, expect the game to, like, the OP hopefully will only make the game more popular. That'll be my hope, is just more people see, hey, people are going to regionals and stuff like that. I want to start playing this game now, because maybe before they were like, wait, I can only play in my locals. Maybe they were turned off by that, but maybe now when the regional season starts, maybe that'll get the interest of maybe some other players that maybe were on the fence of playing, or maybe they only played like casually, and maybe like they needed that little push of OP. Well, I want to go, play in these events kind of thing. So hopefully, I hope it fulfills like everyone's desire of tournament play, because they
Yeah.
work really hard to do it.
Yeah, and like that was the thing I was thinking of too, was just the fact that like most of the time it's I was telling everybody, I'm like, look, Panini's got to get its OP out because this is where you're gonna start getting the fan base, when you're gonna start drawing most of the players, because if they have a bunch of cards that they can only either play in a local tournament or just for fun, most of them are going to lose interest pretty quick. But when you start throwing out something competitive and, a bigger event, even if you're not a competitive person and you're just playing for fun, you're still going to get better even by playing just people who are, more polished in their game. And that's the thing too, is like, personally, I've been traveling around like all of California like lately, it seems. Like, I've gone up north and I've joined up. I've met up again with Matt Lowe. You know Matt Lowe. Like,
Of
yeah,
course.
a lot of people I think know about who M. Lowe is. And I've driven down south and I've played in their tournaments. And that's basically why I started the California Kame House page on Facebook. Also, if you're in California, add that page. And this is kind of why I wanted to start the podcast, like partially too, is because I enjoy talking about, all aspects of the game, controversy, whatnot, speculation. And yeah, like with the OP, you're gonna extend the life of the game. And it's just gonna make things more fun, and you're gonna meet people who you probably don't like, and you're gonna meet people that you like, and hopefully it's more of the latter than the people you don't like, but that's the way it goes. And I always take like learning something new off of somebody, and it's like you can always play an original deck. Like, even though you've seen, like, let's say a Ginyu deck, hundreds of times, that everybody plays, differently for the most part, and they might have a couple cards in their deck that might be different, or they might have a different strategy so far as when they look at their blue Ginyu or orange Ginyu or, black Krillin, whatever. I don't know. It's really interesting, this game. And oh, the other thing that really pisses me off is, I hope that most of the people who listen to this, when they do listen to this, aren't these people of like, oh, this sucks. Like, there's no nothing. There's nothing to counter this, blah, blah, blah. You have to understand, Magic's been around for a long time. This current, birth of this game has two sets going on to three. Like, if you think you're gonna have all your questions answered by two sets, then you're not playing the right game.
I'm glad you brought up a little bit about deck building. I think that's the other thing that's way different about this game, that most people, maybe newer players or maybe players from another game, might not understand that didn't play the old game. The old game was so open because you got to a point where the old game didn't rotate or do any of that kind of stuff that the modern card games do. So there were so many sets, so many cards, so many MPs. So there were so many combinations that like you could play different stuff every round. Like it was pretty nice. This new game, we're trying to work towards that, but you have to understand we have a limited amount of cards per set. So I think when the card pool grows and continues to grow, hopefully, especially with the 60 card deck limit, it actually makes deck building. I'm sure you've experienced it just in set two. the more sets that are increased, it's going to be harder to fit everything you want to fit into a deck, right? So that was the goal of the 60-card deck. The problem with the old game that I personally had issues with, and some of the other people that work on the game had issues with, was in the old game, the deck size limit was so big that if you were to play max deck size, you could fit everything you ever wanted in your deck. Even if you didn't want to play max deck size, you could fit everything you wanted in your deck. There was no like, oh my god, I can't fit, this. This is like, let's say you want to anti-anger cards, you'd be like, oh, I can't fit these in my deck because there's no space. Like in this new game, that's actually really possible. You're like, I want some more anti-ally stuff because there's a bunch of Ginyu in my meta game. But you probably have to give up some other slots in your deck. The 60 card limit is a very fine line of, it really showcases, especially when more sets will be introduced on like people that enjoy deck building. I think this game is really fun in that aspect of deck building. And just like I said, just deck building and like testing so you can refine your ratios, because that's the other thing. I'm not pro or con neck decking. I understand that that's just a modern part of card games, but you have to understand in this game, net decking is so subjective. It's not the same as like something like Magic. Like in Magic, it's different because it's not like life card. You don't take life cards of damage, right? So if you include a singleton copy of a card, you have a chance to see it in your game. Well, unlike DBZ, if you have one copy of a card, you could see it. Like you could open it, or you could see it through the course of the game. Or sometimes you won't even see it during a game because it just gets knocked out of your life deck, right? From damage or destroy effects. So that's all like subjective, right? And technically, there's no right or wrong ratios. That's all personal preference. Like when I. During set one live play, because I'm used to just, not playing live, but I got to play at a couple launch events here, over here on the East Coast, and like people were asking for deck help and stuff like that, and I was like, I can give you the general ideas of what, when you start a deck, there's obviously the staples like time, and if you're gonna play confrontation, stare down, visiting the past, stuff like that, but and then also obviously the really good cards of that style you would probably play, but like the ratios of like energy blocks and physical blocks, I didn't give him a straight answer because that's all personal preference, right? There's no right amount of blocks to play, no wrong about blocks to play. That's something, you yourself as a player has to, like, you know what I mean? It's I'm sorry, I'm kind of like going on a
No.
tangent about deck building and DBZ, but I don't know, like maybe the newer players or players that see this game, the older players would probably understand this, but the newer players, I think you have to understand that part of it. Like, it's a lot of personal preference. Like, if you play against a lot of like orange Ginyu and stuff, then probably you want to play a lot more. You're going to play a lot more energy blocks than physical blocks in your deck, right? But I'm not going to say like, oh, the magic number of energy blocks in set two environment is to play 12 or something like that. You know what I mean? It's all subjective, and it's crazy.
Yeah, like, and I agree with you, like, within the ratio stuff, it's like there is no correct amount. Like, it's just like, well, how often do you want to take on gambling of getting hit? How often do you want to be able to hit somebody? Like, and with me, it's like, I've shown people, I think I have like 14 orange drills, and like mainly like they're all like copies of each other, so it's basically I have seven different drills in the deck, but I boost up the ratio so I can actually get those copies, or like just in case like somebody has to like some because black is kind of like a thorn in my side too when they use searching technique. It's just like, all right, well, hey, you only have one of these drills. Like, you have only one steady drill, and I'm a heavy energy-based deck. Now I'm gonna take out that and like another energy block. When it's just like, well, I have two of those, so go ahead and have fun using your, black searching technique and waste it on both of my orange steady drills, and like, 'cause I can still use time now. I can still have that extra block, which could make all the difference in the game. Yeah, so I mean, like you said, it's really personal preference, and I look at it too in the sense of like the way you look at what style mastery you play too. Like, with With me, I like control, so I play orange. I like having that board control. And, obviously, when I run into a super heavy aggressive deck, I don't like playing them because they like to start every turn, and I don't know
You're
if I
drawing
can
a bunch of
block.
drills.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to block or not. But I mean, that's the risk I take with, playing the control, because if I can put out all my drills, then, I've got like, because I play the blocking drills. I think everybody plays the blocking drills with orange, and it's like, well, there's an extra energy block and an extra physical block I have in my out. And now every time you do an energy attack against me, if it hits, like, I also have my hiding drill out, so it's going to be minus two. And yeah, I mean, everything in this game to like the start of your I mean, it really starts at your MP, and then it works its way down from there, like what kind of deck you want to play, we're not gonna have to worry about MPs in this next set, but in the fourth set, I assume we're gonna start dealing with them. And are we going to see like basically where you can stack your MPs, like interchange them? I mean, this is just speculation because you guys even, I don't know if you guys even discussed working on set four yet or not.
I can't answer that, but definitely, I believe the match the MPs, if like they get a new version, as long as they're not changing alignment, I will firmly believe it'll be closer to the old game because we want to keep the core of the old game, what made the old game fun of like mixing MPs. Don't hold it to me, but I'll try my best to like we want that aspect of the old game of mix and matching,
Yeah,
but
because.
I will say it's a little bit too early to be discussing having multiple MPs of the same person to mix and match because we have so many characters that have not received MPs yet. Just
Yeah,
saying.
that's true. I mean, I'm just because like that was one of the best aspects of like the old game was mixing and matching your MP stacks, and then on top of it, later on when you were able to declare an alignment, if your personality was a rogue character, whether you could play a hero or villain, and like, because I know a lot of people have been clamoring that they wanted to play Piccolo as a villain, and Vegeta as a hero, mainly Piccolo as a villain. But like now you're gonna actually get that in the next set with Slug, so that'll be good.
I hope people get excited about Slug just in general because he's going to be the first villain Namekian personality we see. He gets a, also in the next set there's some more like this game emphasizes a little bit more. You saw it in set two mostly, right? The hero and villain alignment was more, it mattered more. Like in the old game it didn't matter as much, right? I mean it obviously mattered for certain cards like Frieza's Ready or people might know in this game villainous Visage, right?
Yeah.
As it has been reborn as, and stuff like what Android 17 Smirks, all that stuff that really separated in the old game. But it didn't matter as much besides like some of those couple key cards. But in this incarnation of the game, we wanted to make heroes and villains like your choice of playing a hero or a villain should matter more. And you got to see that in some of the set two cards, right? And set three will help augment that hero and villain kind of thing where you like if you're playing a villain you get all the perks of being a villain, right? So Slug in general and in combination with Namekian since he's the first villain Namekian character he will get his own stuff for a villain Namekian MP that Piccolo wouldn't have access to. So hopefully people can if you're they're a fan of Namekian or just Planet Namek or just Dende and Guru like I am, hopefully they will like the Namekian stuff, specifically the villain stuff. If they've been that's what they've been waiting for is to
Yeah.
play villain Namekian personality. Hopefully Slug fills that role for you guys.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and end on like a fun question here. So when you look forward to a new set personally, Sean, like What are you most interested in seeing? Are you most interested in seeing like the MPs, the allies, specific cards that maybe your style is getting, or the ultra rares? Like, what's the number one thing like you look for? Like you get excited about?
From a design point, obviously, for me, my favorite things are the MPs themselves, because it's something you're gonna base your deck around, right? So the MPs are probably the most exciting thing for me. As a player, obviously, people are wondering, what's the ultra rares? Because a lot of players that played the old game, like that was like the big deal, right? But a lot of the old ultra rares from the old game were personality cards, so usually it didn't matter as much because they would be like a level 5, so like. If you ever got to level 5 in the old game, that usually didn't happen, or you just or probably already won the game, right? So, I guess as a player standpoint, everyone wants to be excited about the ultra rares. I believe set 3 will keep the ratios of set 2, so hopefully that, I understand you can't please everyone. People were really unhappy with the way the ratios were in set 1. We fixed it in set 2, and they were still unhappy, but I don't understand. Like, we can't make. I thought set 2 was a great compromise for the ultra ratio, so but
I mean, I didn't understand that too, because it's like, most of these, I didn't, sorry to cut you off, but like,
no problem.
it's just like, I don't understand when you look at old Scorzy, I don't remember like really any bitching about how hard it was to pull an ultra rare, because like, that was like, if you were lucky, you got one in a case,
Yeah, the ratios were even worse than what Panini set 1 was in the old game, and people probably don't know that.
And then like, I was like, oh, 1 in 3, that's not bad. It would have been nice if maybe it was a 1 to 1 or a 1 to 2, and then Panini decided, okay, well, let's drop it to 1 in every 2, and I'm fine with that, because like, for the most part, like the last set, you really like the ultra rares were like, they weren't like game breaking, but they were like, they're definitely helpful. Like they're kind of, when I see that nobody's really playing, like I play Heroic Assistance in my Krillin deck, and just the ability to stack and put that one card on top, and I can use it offensively or defensively. Like I known that I've done like a couple times where my opponent's passed and I know he's got nothing left, so I'll just go ahead and Heroic Assistance and put time on top of my deck, so I'm ready for next turn. Or, if I still have the ability to draw, or I have my Tien out in play and they can't block an energy attack, I'll Heroic Assistance and then use Tien and then draw into that card. So I mean, they're good comboing cards, but they're not going to be cards that are going to break the game or break your wallet if you want to go out and buy them, individually.
I'm glad you brought up the set 2 ultras. Those and other cards are they're very underrated. They're like you said, they're very good. Like you can combo assistance with like Possession Drill or any other draw effect. It's a very unique card. Obviously, in something like Namekian Piccolo, it's amazing too. You can combo with this level 2, or you can just shuffle it back during combat to get yourself an anger. Villainous Empowerment is also a very underrated card. It gives villains a tutor, which is very powerful, especially when you get out really good drills like Smoothness Drill, in black and stuff like that. Like I said, I do feel bad set one. Like obviously the ultra ratio isn't bad for something like Heroic Plan and Visage, right? Because they limit one, but obviously for the spheres, even me personally, when I build a deck, there isn't a lot of decks where I could even fit three spheres in it, and there's some decks I just don't play any, but I mean. So I don't know why you would, besides just to have a play set, right, just in case kind of thing. I do feel bad about the ratio of the Seers in set one, but I don't like to say cards are like true staples or anything like that, but people feel it's a staple because it was in the old game, which, but then you have to remember in the old game, it was a staple because you could fit whatever you wanted in your deck. Like the 60 card deck limit, you can actually like the spheres in the new game, in the Panini game, they're still really good because obviously you can stop time, which is the biggest thing, or stop at something like Confrontation or Stare Down, right? Or just when new events, like more events come out. It's obviously good, but it has that drawback of cards being dead in your hand in this game are a lot worse than it was in the old game. Because in the old game, you had a massive hand size, right? In this game, your hand sizes don't really get that big outside of like spoon this drill and them attacking into you while you have like visiting the past out, right? So your hand sizes don't really get that huge. So having dead cards actually matters more in this game than it did in the old game.
Right, and then like, with what I've seen too is just like, I personally like to play like maybe two spheres in each deck. Like my Krillin deck has two spheres, and it's just like most of the time when I draw into them, it's like, oh, sweet, I can't use this card, or I'll have it in my hand, and it's just like, okay, well, I'm ready for your combat card that's never gonna come. Like against black, it's like a nice card, and I always keep it in my hand. I never
Yeah, it's
rejuvenate
amazing, yeah, versus
it.
black. Because of scout maneuver, like, stuff like foreshadowing and
Yeah, black has
but
tons
it's
of
just like you said,
combos.
also I think there's certain decks in the current format that can play spheres a lot easier than the other decks too, which is kinda unfortunate. Like black has an easier time of playing spheres because if you have smoothness drill, if you want to keep a sphere, it doesn't feel as bad, right? Because you get two extra cards. And like when you play in orange, you can afford to play spheres in orange because if you have board set up, those are basically like having extra cards, right? If you got your blocking drills out and hiding drill, you
Right.
can probably afford to hold a sphere if you're playing against a deck that you really want to hold a sphere for. So,
Yeah,
while the
exactly.
other styles don't have that luxury as much, but I don't want to say spheres are true staples like everyone claims. I think they're very good and they obviously will get better as more cards are introduced, but I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I'm not sorry that they're ultra rares. If I wish they weren't, but it is what it is for right
Yeah,
now, so.
and that's the thing too, is just like, it's like when you tell players that are just like, oh, but I need like spheres in my deck, it's like, no, it's not true. Like, I mean, at the beginning of the game when I barely like I think I had one sphere and I didn't even play it in my deck because it's a one of, and it just goes back to our discussion earlier about ratios. It's like there's no point for me to play this one of card. I'd rather just, not be able to sphere their time or, whatever on, and just rather have another energy attack or another physical or something that's going to help me out during the combat. And then also, with the dead cards in your hand, I really liked what you guys and the developers, like, when I say you guys, I mean Panini as a whole, like, and their development teams and stuff. I really liked how you guys took care of Orange in this past set, because like it's just like now I can do something with my drills that are dead draws with like, mini ball and possession drill. Like now I have a chance to take those dead cards and basically, cash them in for something. Like I consistently, like with my Orange Krillin, and yes people, I'm gonna talk a lot about my Orange Krillin deck because it's my favorite deck right now, that basically I'll go ahead and use my power for my level one, which I use the Comic-Con promo one, and then I'll go ahead and possession drill, and then I'll either strategically, lower your anger, kill one of your allies, or take one of your Dragon Balls. And then, knowing that I've used that critical damage effect, I'll get that same drill back at the end of the turn as long as somebody doesn't remove it from the discard pile, But going back to my question, I guess I should just answer my own question too. What I get most excited about is definitely the MPs, like for sure, because you want to see like what kind of MP stacks up with your deck, like with your style, because everybody has one or two styles that's kind of their favorite, and I'm excited to see the new MPs, and then after that I think it goes to basically, okay, well, what kind of cheap cards did my style get in this next set, and then it goes ultra rares, because it's just like most of the time, like I kind of have a feeling now that, and I'm speculating that you guys are basically just going to start throwing out ultra rares that aren't style specific and basically just that can intermatch with every type of deck, or
Well,
or
that's
if.
a pretty good speculation. Like, okay, I'm not gonna say no that there will never be styled ultra rares, but We're gonna try our best to keep away from it. I don't know if you guys remember, GT had style ultra rares. I really didn't like that. You don't want to ever feel bad about not having something, like if it's a styled ultra, you feel like you would have to have that for your deck, right? So we're gonna try our best to stay away from like styled ultra rares. They're probably usually always gonna be non-styled for the most part, because that's just way better for the player base and way better from a design point of view.
Right, and it just gets into that aspect of we'll see, you don't need ultra rares to play our game. Like it's just it's an extra bonus if you can get one of these ultra rares and you can kind of intermatch it with a deck. Because yeah, I think honestly the besides one of the many flaws of GT, and I'm definitely a proponent against GT, and I really hated GT. Like, that was one of its biggest downfalls was the fact that they made ultra rare like styled cards, and like, granted, like I can't even think of any of the ultra rare styled cards that were really good for a specific like color. Like I just remember orange had like orange fishing drill, and I didn't think that was that great of a card.
In terms of the ultra rares, like we try our best to not have like staple, quote unquote staple ultra rares. Like in set one, you can argue that Visage and Plan are quote unquote staples, right? But technically, you can play without them, or if you're playing a deck that utilizes a Nappa ally, you may not like if you have Visage out and Nappa ally, then you can't even use it in the first place. I mean, like you can generally play without them. We're trying our best to have ultra rares that are not staple-ish. You can play with them, you can play without them, or what I like the most is have ultra rares that are build around cards. Like you can build around them, or have them, it's something that you build your deck with kind of thing. It's not something that feels like a staple. So like if you don't have it, well then that's okay. You just don't build, if there's like a specific way to build a deck with that ultra rare, then you won't make it. You'll make another version of the deck, and so maybe you get them or whatever, kind of thing. It's more cards like that, because like if an effect on an ultra rare in testing just feels too much like, well, this feels like a really close to an auto include card kind of thing, then what we normally do, we just move that effect to a different card effect, that will just be open generally in the set, that's not in the ultra rare slot, and then have a different effect on the ultra rare card. So
Right. Well, I think that was a pretty good first episode here, Sean. I think we should probably go ahead and sign this one off now. So from Master Roshi's Island here at the Kami House, I'm Dustin Goon Collins signing off.
and I'm Sean. Hope you guys enjoyed.